Ricky Hunnewett is in for a kōrero too. You know, Ricky, I've been watching some of your vids there, bro. Ricky, formerly with a group called Dead Flowers, but an award-nominated Māori artist, and he's carving a lot of te reo Māori into his new work. Thanks for joining us again, Ricky. Tēnā koe, hoanga mihi.
Tēnā koe, mara. Atu Māori e koutou mā.
Tēnā koe. Yeah, I've been seeing some of your videos, and you're warming to the craft, aren't you, mate, of celebrating song, but you've always done that. Can you see the story behind your version of Kapioioi, and what it meant to reinterpret such a beloved waiata? It's neat. It's a lovely video. Tell us about the journey, please, Ricky.
Kia ora, Dale. Well, I spoke to Tamai Nicholson, who was the composer. He's from Rangitane, and he was attending Teachers College back in the 90s, and he was young and in love and enjoying his life, but he was lamenting for the old ways, and he noticed that things were changing, you know, people were becoming more urbanized, and so it was just lovely to talk to him about that, because I got in touch with him to get his blessings, and I told him, for me, it's about coming home to myself, you know, representing my journey back to te reo Māori, you know, culture and identity, and it's a reminder that no matter where life takes you, those connections are always there waiting for you. And it's not about reinventing these waiata, it's about honouring them, because I have a whole series of these regrooves. It's my way of celebrating those treasured Māori waiata and preserving their spirit and giving new generations, you know, a chance to discover and connect with the Maydale.
Absolutely, and these are much loved waiata. These are the ones that we gijingajik with each other. Kapi Oioi is an example. My mokos know it, and so... these are our go-to waiata. I know you approach this mahi not to usurp the mana of others who have also performed them, but to celebrate them and give them more vitality. And how's it been received, Ricky, that you've re-recorded or re-versioned one of these old classics?
Well, I mean, you know what the ultimate honour is, Dale, is if a nana posts a comment on my Facebook and says, Mokko's favourite song, and we play it all the time, that to me is a good feeling, you know, that it's connecting with new generations. And that's what our waiata is, eh? It's the way we carry those stories forward, you know, because these waiata are vessels to hold our language, our history, our identity, and, you know, has the ability to connect people across generations and keep those stories alive. So, That's I'm just a happy man at the moment, you know, that's just going really well, Dale.
Tell us about the filming process. It was in the Ngahere, I know you're sort of obliged to play up to the camera, but it didn't look like you were overly fazed by its presence when I saw the clip.
Well, look, I come from a bit of a showbiz family. My father, Rangi, he was a performer. Mum was a performer, and we just sort of grew up around that. That's not to say that I'm quite a shy person, to be honest, but I just, you know, I look at the way you produce things these days, and it's really about letting the whenua and the ngahere speak for itself. I'm just a prop, you know what I mean, and the song carries me, and I really enjoy what I'm doing now. There was a period of time when I was probably a little bit stressed out with the way things were going with music. Things were changing, the landscape was changing, you had to adapt, get caught up in all the complexities, but I just let it go, Dale. I just let it go. Now, you know what? I just like sitting down playing my guitar, and if I'm strolling through the ngahere, then I'll get a mate to bring his camera and then we'll shoot it. You know what I mean?
You know, there's a time in our younger lives where we're seeking professionalism and perhaps making a big buck out of music. I'm not saying that's no longer the case, but sometimes life can be charming in its own right if we're just, you know, singing for the love of singing and not having too many expectations. I know that you've been in a high profile group before, and at times as younger men, we all harbour hopes of, having our music change the world and, you know, becoming famous, if you will. But have you found that there's still much to be derived from just singing and mixing with musos for the love of the music rather than for the potential to become famous?
Well, it's the last great bastion of hope is just really connecting to the music, Dale, and not chasing it, really, not chasing it. It's about creating a small community. You know, if you have a few people, 30 people, 40, 50, 100 people that listen to your music and resonate with it, then that's a good thing. You know, you can connect with those people and create good relationships. You know, at the end of the day, you've uplifted someone and you've made a connection and you made the world hopefully a little bit better than it was the day before.
You know,
I think that's the attitude to have these days, Dale.
It allows you to liaise with people. Eh? If you've got a guitar and someone else has got a tambourine, this guy over here has got a little drum and that guy there's got a ukulele. Yep. All of a sudden you're in sync with each other and smiling, creating beautiful sounds together. So just in that little enclosed situation, there's some magic. And then, of course, there are those who listen, and so that could spread its wings much wider. You and I have discussed men's health before, and if you'd be kind enough, it is Men's Health Week this week, and so we have deliberately had a focus on men's health. Music and men's health, emotional health, mental health, what's the correlation? What do you see here?
Well, you know, healing and well-being are central to my mahi. You know, my work in mental health and family violence space, you know, has reinforced something that I've always believed. Music can heal people, reconnect and find strength. Sometimes a wire can start a conversation that, you know, difficult to have in other ways. Sometimes I'll have a person in who's from the other side of the world and, you know, I have to have an interpreter. You know, I might just sing Te Aroha. Te Aroha. And break down the meaning. It's about, you know, that connection, you know, connecting to people through those frequencies. It's universal, Dale. You know, no matter what language you sing in, you know, you can connect with people. It's, for me, it's quite wide, so my job is to set a tone, change the frequency, you know, and, you know, invite people into a different kind of conversation. I ran a group last night with my men. I had run a group of 12 men. We do a 12-week cohort. They're from drug court, and they have, you know, relationship strategies and things that they want to learn, and I can help and path with them. And we always start, you know, with tikanga, karakia, and waiata, and it's just lovely hearing the boys sing. We have men that are from different cultures, and we always, you know, we always do a song like Pūdiānei, which is a very healing.
Let's talk about the beautiful taonga that is a guitar or any musical instrument. You know, through the ups and downs of life, many people have taken great solace in that instrument, you know, because it doesn't judge. It's there. It's ready to support you whenever you go for it. And sometimes guys don't have access to an instrument. I once thought that, you know, people who've got lots of them, perhaps we should consider at times a kaupapa like Instruments for Change, even giving them to guys on the inside, because, you know, those guys slough up. It'd be pretty neat if they could, you know, be befriended by a ukulele or a guitar or harmonica. They can be great friends to have through life, né?
Well, you know, there's a growing appetite for music that is authentic and culturally grounded. You know, people are looking for music that reflects who they are and where they come from, and that's not reserved for mainstream artists anymore. That's just anybody, you know? It's any ordinary person has the ability to channel their talent through. I mean, you've even got taonga pūoro, Dale, you know? It's not restricted to just Western-style instruments. You can do all sorts of things, these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, dial up Ricky Huddleweta, Ricky with a Q, and you'll find his material on YouTube, Spotify, all those platforms. Well worth having a listen and celebrating in his reversioning of a classic and much-loved waiata, Kapioioi. And can I also acknowledge your willingness to afi others, as was the case with your Ropu Tane last night, Ricky. And always neat to have a cordial with you, bro. Keep up the good work. We'll catch up again soon.
Hey, thank you very much, bro. And ngā mihi nui ki a koutou katoa. I look forward to seeing everyone on my Facebook page and my YouTube page, which is Ricky's Music, R-I-Q-I-S Music. And or you can download my music on Spotify.
Nice talking with you again, bro. Thanks so much.
Tēnā koutou.
Tēnā koe. Tēnā koe, Ricky.